there. You are listening to the Girl Talk podcast brought to you by our friends at Fox Toyota of East Tennessee. My name is Carol.
Hey, I'm Trisha.
And I'm Kelly.
And we're so glad that you've joined us today. In math, the less than symbol, you know, points at whatever is less than, right?
Right.
Okay. So today, if we were using mathematics symbols, which me talking about mathematics is funny in and of itself, but we would be pointing at each other because so often as women, we compare ourselves to other people and we feel less than. I know in so many areas of my life, my tendency is to say I'm better or worse than whoever I'm, you know, feeling better or worse than, and to live my life that way. And that is no way to live.
It's not biblical either.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
exhausting is what it is.
It is exhausting. Totally exhausting. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Do you ever live there? I think probably this really started for me when my life kind of fell apart and I just needed to feel like I was accomplishing something in some situations. And then a lot, you know, we talked about this before on the episode on, you know, single parenting. There was a small but very vocal group that said, you shouldn't be on the radio anymore, you shouldn't be in ministry, those kinds of things. And that was kind of the beginning for me of feeling less than. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times our circumstances can dictate that feeling. At least for me, that's kind of where it started, and it kind of got worse from there. I don't know if y'all have had kind of an inciting incident that happened, you know, you kind of felt like that was, what was yours?
Listen, mine started, I think, when my mom gave birth to me, because honest to Pete.
I was just thinking that. I was like, Carol made it this far.
Carol, real good.
Oh my goodness.
Seriously. Like, I must not have done that delivery thing real well, but.
Oh, that's good.
Because when I came out, I had a sister who was amazing.
Yeah.
Who is amazing. Mm-hmm. And my whole life, I felt like I have to compare myself to her. I've made some progress in the past few years, but I don't know. I started early on comparing myself to my sister, and she happens to be amazing and excellent at so many things, brilliant and focused and all these things. And because she did those things so well, I always felt like that's her area. I can't do that. I have to find my own area. So she, for example, was like valedictorian. She was just like brilliant and all of these classes. And I would come in to a classroom because she's 3 years older than me.
Yeah.
And so I'd come in and have the same teachers.
Yeah.
And they would say, oh, you're Alice's sister. Come on in. And then they, a little bit later they go, are you sure you're Alice's sister?
Oh, no.
I mean, I was just like not ever going to be up to that level. So I had to find my own way. And so I thought to myself, well, you can't be smart because she's really smart.
Mm.
So maybe you're going to be goofy. Or I think I tried to find a lot of identity in being liked.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but I grew up my whole life thinking, well, you can't be smart. You're just not going to be that one.
Well, I mean, I don't want to give the false perception that I never struggled with it, but I just think that's when it became a problem in my life. Because I think, like you, I had two older sisters, too, who were good at different things. And so I think part of the process of us becoming is finding out who we are and what we're good at. But for me, I don't think it was ever debilitating until that point in my life.
Yeah.
You know? So I think I struggled with it to some degree for most of my life, because I'm a performer. I mean, you and I have a lot of similarities in that regard. But performers tend to feel like, hey, if I don't perform well, then I should not show up.
Right. Performers are constantly being pitted against one another.
Right.
It's that's the way of that profession, in a sense.
Right.
Get ratings and you get this and you get you get the job or you don't get the job or whatever.
Yeah.
So it does play into that.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what about you, Kelly?
I mean, my less than land always has revolved around my weight. I have struggled with my weight since I was born.
Me too.
Really, truly
me
born.
Too.
I mean, I can vividly remember it becoming an issue for me when I was about 10. You know, when you get that first perm too, and all of a sudden you go from looking.
You never had a perm.
But I had the weight thing.
Yeah, and you go from feeling normal to all of a sudden being self-conscious. The guys, you're looking at the guys, and he's looking at somebody else.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just felt always less than.
Yeah. So it sounds like we all have some kind of inciting incident or situation where we felt that way. So how do we get to the point where we have, number one, an accurate view of ourselves, an accurate, and here's where I want to go with this, and we may go all different directions, mm-hmm. but I believe, for me at least, when my view of God gets kind of out of kilter, that's mm-hmm. when my view of myself gets out of kilter.
Absolutely. Well, at the very beginning of the Bible, God mm-hmm. says that he created us in his image.
Yeah, right.
And if we think he is amazing and holy and we're created in his image, mm-hmm. but we forget that.
Right.
We forget mm-hmm. how he created us just like him.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I have to, and this is, I've gone back to this in a couple of episodes. The older I get, and Trisha, I think you were kind of instrumental in teaching me this life skill of being mindful of how I'm feeling, because I'd never paid attention to my emotions before. And let me preface that by saying my emotions were, they led the way for everything, but I never paid attention to them and never gave a second thought to, okay, because I'm feeling this way, this is what I need to deal with, you know, those kinds right. of things. And I think a couple of years ago, you and I were having a conversation, maybe even before Girl Talk days. It may have been one of the conversations that kind of started, hey, maybe we need to record this. But to pay attention to our thinking, because it points to something greater. When you are feeling less than, that is pointing, it's kind of like the iceberg that you see. What mm-hmm. you're feeling less than is the part above the water.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
actual mm-hmm. issue, I believe, is below the water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the issue that you see is not really the issue. There's something deeper going on, and I'm so grateful that you taught me that life skill of like, okay, let's do the hard work of digging down and seeing what's really at the root of this. Because I believe as women, a lot of our comparison, a lot of the Facebook yah-yah that goes on, a lot of the, oh, look at her dinner and look at my dinner, you know, she just, you know, produced an Instapot recipe that should be in Southern Living, and I just got takeout that
Chef
should be.
Boyardee.
Yeah, exactly. All of that points to a deeper problem.
Right. Okay. So how do you do that? What was the advice, Trisha, that
well,
you gave?
I'm not 100% sure, but here's what I think you're talking about. Here's what it rings true to me is that so much of my life, if I had a feeling, the feeling would take over.
Mm-hmm.
Think
mm-hmm.
about a train track, and that would be the direction that I would go in. The feeling would dictate.
Right.
But at some point, I realized through Bible study that you can choose. You don't have to go in the direction of your feeling.
Right.
You can change the way you're thinking, which can change the feeling and change the direction of that train track to take you in a better way. Because for so long, I just felt helpless because I was bullied by my feelings.
Yeah.
And bullied a lot by these feelings of insufficiency, you know, just less than, just failing all the time. And so I think it's important to talk about when we feel that way. We're always going to do something when we feel that way. We can take the choice to have a poor coping skill or we can make the choice to have a good coping skill.
Yeah.
The poor coping skills that I felt in my life, a lot of the time when I felt really insecure or less than, I would just completely ignore that part of myself. Like when I said that I told you all I can't be smart because my sister's smart. So that's her area. So then I have to be a different area. And it took me a long time to go, you know what? You can learn things.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn. You can get smarter. And I had to learn that because I really just said, you are not that person. And that's so crazy. So a poor coping skill would be to just disavow that whole part of you because someone else is doing it well. Another poor coping skill would be to engage in some kind of a behavior like talking about someone else to feel better about yourself.
Or self-deprecating
or
humor.
I
am the master at that.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the problem with self-deprecating humor. It can be really funny.
Yeah.
And so that gives you a little bit of a burst. But every time you say those words, you're hearing them and you're believing them a little bit more. So I like self-deprecating humor.
Me too.
I like it too. But you gotta keep in mind that you're programming yourself.
Well, and the other thing about self-deprecating humor is that often people who use that are going ahead and making the joke because they're afraid someone else will make it. Right. And if they make it about themselves, then it's not as hurtful as if somebody else makes it.
Now, let me ask you a question. Okay. How awkward is it when someone makes a self-deprecating joke and you don't know how to respond? Right.
Oh, very.
It's terribly
incredibly
awkward.
Yes.
That is my life. Yes. That's my spiritual gift.
Right. But you want so badly to be able to fix it for somebody.
Right. Right.
And you want to be able to say, well, you're not that.
And right. Funny, but.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes. You're not that.
Right.
Okay? You hear that?
Right. Well, I want to go back to something that you said because I traced this back. We talked about it on a podcast before. And I traced it back, and I wanted to know exactly where. And, you know, I've been moving. So I found this journal that I actually, and it was from Women of Faith. Y'all remember Women of Faith? I went to Women of Faith one time, and I think it was before I actually worked here at the Light FM. And I went to Women of Faith, and Marilyn Meeberg was one of the speakers on the stage. And she made this statement. She said, emotions don't have brains, which in my mind is kind of a paraphrase of the heart is deceitful above all things. Our emotions cannot be trusted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when you follow your emotional response, it is not going to go to the truth of God's word.
Mm-hmm. It's right. True.
Yeah.
Like our emotions cannot be trusted. And for me, I had always kind of given my emotions the keys to the car and said, okay, you drive.
You drive. You drive. Right. And guess where you're going? It ain't good.
It never was good. No. I never ended up in a healthy place.
And I love what you said, too, about our thoughts bullying us.
Right.
Because that's exactly what happens. Right. We let it go. And then all of a sudden, we feel kicked in the face by our own self. Our own thoughts have kicked ourselves right in the face.
And here's what something else I will say that's very, you know, popular now. Once we start doing that, it becomes our truth.
Oh, yes.
So I just want you to hear this. There is a difference. When you hear people say that, they are not speaking of God's truth.
Right.
Okay? So let's just go ahead and lay that out there. And you can, you know, argue with me all day long. But I will tell you what is true with me. Sometimes... And when I started saying, you know, when you don't have an accurate view of God, that affects how you see yourself. And I think this is the heart of it right here, is that we start telling ourselves, we start self-deprecating humor, and all of a sudden we hear all these things, and that becomes our truth, which is so completely opposite of what God's word says. So we have a decision to make as Christian women to say, I am going to die to self and not make this about my weight or my appearance or how I look. And I'm going to invest myself in God's word and knowing what his truth says about me. And that is going to be God's truth is going to be the truth that I choose. Right. Not some truth that I've either good or bad that I've created for myself.
Good point. Yep. And God's truth says that we are wonderful.
Right.
That he loves us, that he created us in his own image. And yes, we are flawed, broken human beings in need of a savior.
Right.
Thus, he provided us a savior.
Yeah.
But he loves us and cherishes us just as he created us, because he created us in his image.
But I will also say with that, because one of the things that we can do is just say, oh, I'm wonderful and I'm great. God loves us too much to not tell us the truth.
Amen. Yeah, and to leave us as the broken, gross people we are.
He hits at sin. He's going to confront us with his word. And that's why it's so dangerous to build your self-image on anything other than what God's word says. Because he will confront you with those things. You know, I liken it to, you know, whenever you read something, a book, you want to highlight it.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can find it easier when you go back, right?
Unless you highlight everything like I do.
Yeah, yeah. But I find it that sometimes in my life, I will be spending time with God, or I will not be spending time with God, which is worse, and he will highlight an area of my life. Mm. And everything that all the issues that I'm having seem to go back to that one place where I still need to do some work. Now, is he loving about it? Absolutely. Is he full of grace about it? Yes. But he still confronts sin in my life and inaccurate views that I have about myself or about other people or about some behavior that I'm engaging in that is not godly. And I just want you to hear today that we do serve a loving God who created you and wants what's best for you. But he also cannot tolerate our sin and just, oh, everything's love. Because I think one of the things that our culture does today is God is love. God, and He is. Oh, my word. If you ever fall in love with Him, every other kind of love will pale in comparison. I know that because it's been true for me. But I also will tell you this. He is love, but He is also truth. Mm-hmm. And truth confronts when we're wrong.
You know, it's about how you're being confronted. That's how,
right.
That's how you can know what you're listening to. That's how you can know who you're listening to. Let's say you've done something that's not right, that God wants to work on. God will talk to you in mm-hmm. a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
He will draw you to Himself in a way that makes you want to change.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the enemy who is talking to you, and he will try getting
oh,
in
yeah.
there,
come on.
It will be in a shameful way.
Right.
It will be a never, you never do this, or you always do this,
mm-hmm.
or you can never get out of this. It is a doom. It is a gloom. It is a shame, a rejection. Versus God maybe talking about a similar thing, but talking to you in a way like, I love you, and I'm going to help you change this. Do you see how this could be better? That's how you know who you're listening to.
And I will add along to that, if you'll allow me to, that I would say that not confronting some things in our lives when they need to be corrected is unloving.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Think about
right?
your kids.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if your kids go to stick a fork in a light socket, you're going right. to stop them, right? But so many times when we do that, we're like, I'm so mad at God. I'm just mad at God, you know, because He warns us or He disciplines us. I've got many a whooping from the Lord. Many.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when it's going on, I hate it. But later on, I can look back and say, what a loving God to discipline me. Because the Bible says He disciplines those He loves. And there are going to be times of discipline, not beatings.
Right. It's right? the way. And it's also the motive behind it. It's love versus hate.
It's His kindness mm-hmm. that
it's
leads
love.
Us to repentance.
I saw this yeah. on Facebook. It said, me yelling at a squirrel to get out of the road so it doesn't get crushed by tires is probably the same feeling God has watching me live my life.
Amen.
That's true.
Get out yep. of the road.
That's true.
Here it comes.
That's true. Yeah. And I want you to also go back. I mean, we're talking about feeling less than and comparison and how that is so much a part of our culture, especially right now.
It is. Yes.
I want you to know, because I need to hear this, that God is not up in heaven going, hey, Carol, if you were more like Trisha.
Oh, yeah, right.
If you were more like Kelly,
right.
it'd be really good, because I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could pray like this girl over
sure.
here.
Right.
I wish I was as smart yep. as that girl right there. You know? I mean, those are some of the things that really happen in my heart when I hear you pray. And you, right. I mean, it's obvious you've spent so much time with God. And when you're theologically so deep, and I'm like, man, I wish I had that. And when we do that, don't transfer that over to God, because He's not looking for you to be a better version of your friend.
Right.
He is looking to make you more like Him.
Right.
That is the goal.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. We're not comparing ourselves to other people. We're comparing ourselves to who we were yesterday, and are we closer to Christ?
And right. we each have different experiences. We have different giftedness.
Mm-hmm.
We've had different things in our lives, different backgrounds, different futures.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we constantly compare ourselves to each other, then we're never going to feel good.
Enough.
We're never going to feel enough. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I told this to Carol yesterday. So I went into the studio, and she'd been in there earlier, and I opened up Facebook. And I opened it up, and then I saw, ooh, I had a private message. Well, I opened it up, and it was this message going, you are so funny. You mean so much to me. I love when you share on the air. And, oh, boy, you just make my day. And I was like, oh, man, I was feeling so good. And then I looked down, and it said something. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't remember saying that. When did I say that? And then I look up, and I was on Carol's Facebook page. She hadn't closed it out.
Oh,
and
that's
then I was
great.
Like, oh. You know, I went right. through all the things like, okay, take yeah. back that. So it's so easy to compare yourself, even if you're not trying to, you know, and something little will kind of throw you into that. But that is the enemy trying to
mm-hmm.
take you away from the road that God has you on. Right. Your road is right. different. Your road has different highs and lows and different views and different participants, but it's your road, and it's a road that God's planned for you, and it's a good road, and only you can walk right. the road that you are on.
And God created you to make to ride that road, to ride. To ride to that road? Are we riding
roads
these days?
Right.
We're going to ride.
Yeah.
We're going to ride roads.
Ride the road. Yes.
Like Rocky
so
Road.
So God created you to ride that road. Mm-hmm. He didn't create you to ride somebody else's road.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He created every one of us with different pieces of the body. You know, 1 Corinthians talks about how if a hand can be a hand, I mean, if hand wants to be a foot or a foot wants to be a hand, then it can't.
Right.
It just can't. It still needs to be a foot.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to be a foot, though. But hey, the foot wants to be a foot.
Right.
The foot is good.
Yeah. Right. It's necessary.
Yeah,
absolutely. It plays one of the most important parts in our body.
Absolutely it does. So I tell you what, let's do now. We've talked all around it and how we feel and all those things, but let's come up with some practical ways that we can actually stop the comparison.
Yes.
We can stop living in less than land, and we can move to a place, move out of insecurity.
One thing we can do is spend less time on social media. Because one of the things that social media people do on social media is put the best, most awesome things.
Yeah.
You know, I have a great friend.
Highlight reels.
Yeah, highlight reels. Yeah. I have a great friend who is a CrossFit boss who posts all her pictures of her chiseled arms and her, you know, picking up things.
Pack.
And I'm like, oh, I'll never be that good. And then I have another friend whose kid is like the smartest, funniest.
Yeah.
There's always these great little videos of him. And I'm like, oh, my kid's super cute, but that's really cute.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we just compare ourselves. We need to spend less time on social media looking at other people's awesomeness.
It is funny that you should mention that, because just in the last week I made the decision to go, you know, those you have a phone and it has the screen time
a screen time tracker,
how much time you use.
You
on
can
screen?
Actually yeah. set those for a certain amount, and what I find is when I just mindlessly scroll through and start doing that, my mind goes to some unhealthy places. So this week, that's been available for however long, but just this week I made the decision. I was like, I'm going to limit myself to 15 minutes of social media every day.
Oh, good for you.
That's as much as I can take. And I'm not even sure I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can't set the limit, but not that even 15 minutes is good for me.
Right.
Because I tend to be an emotional person, and I tend to go after the things and compare myself to the 15 minutes of people I see. It doesn't take that long, you know? You just see one post. And
right.
so it may be that I take a break from that for a while but know that you are in control of how much or little that you need. And I have a friend who has gone off of Facebook, and she jokes that she doesn't know what's going on in anybody's life anymore, but the people that matter, she does. Yeah. You know, they still keep in touch. And I totally respect that and am 100% in support of that. But know that you can set limits. I think all devices have the ability to do that, to set limits for yourself. And so start somewhere.
And I think one of the things we don't realize about social media is that we may not be consciously looking at a post
right.
and saying, ooh, that person is better than me.
Right.
But subconsciously, we're creating images of people based on what they put out there in the public realm. And it's not true.
Right.
They're not going to share their junk necessarily on Facebook. And so we start to think, oh, Carol's got it all together because all of her Facebook posts are all this stuff.
All the nice messages.
And every size hanger in her closet that's ever known to man. So anyway,
here's another thing that has helped me.
All right.
When I am feeling badly about myself, if I can take the time to really encourage someone else, then I'm taking the focus off my whatever perceived thoughts about myself. And I'm actually thinking about them. I'm not talking about doing it falsely, but really, like, hey, compliment a friend when you see them doing something awesome. Encourage them, give them a kind word, and it takes the focus off myself and onto them in a good way.
You know, I saw a challenge online that when you're feeling badly about yourself, to start with A, just type in A, whoever's name comes up on your phone in your contact list. Think about one thing that you appreciate about that person and text them just at that moment.
Ooh, that's nice.
I love it.
And then if you're still feeling badly, go to B. C, to go work your way all through.
E, I've got a ways to go. Start with Z sometimes.
Yeah, no, all my friends named Amy are going to get lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Feeling so good about themselves.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, by E or F, you're feeling pretty good. And then you start the next time. But
yeah,
it's that same thing, that same idea of taking
because
the focus off yourself.
The insecurity, I'm sort of thinking about this now. I'm getting all juiced up. The insecurity, when I feel it, it's because I'm so focused on myself.
Right.
And my imperfections.
Okay.
But when I stop focusing on myself and really literally start focusing on someone else, I'm not thinking about myself.
Right.
My junk. I'm thinking about them and how much I love them. And And so it just, that helps with the comparison. It's actually, it kind of seems like a backward idea, but it makes all the difference.
What is that quote? That humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Yeah.
Ooh, y'all yeah. did that in unison.
I know.
That was pretty special.
Yeah.
Next show, 10 o'clock.
So, you know, I think that is true. So we've got do something for somebody else. Serve.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect way. You know, text.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to somebody else.
You know, one of the other things I think we ought to do is if we, and we've talked about this before, but I think if we were more honest with each other about our own struggles.
Yeah.
And we create an environment where other people are honest about their struggles. You know, that's one of the things Paul recommends.
Yeah.
He says to boast in your weakness.
Yeah.
And not that we want to necessarily go out there and go, I'm fat and I struggle with my weight, you know, and boast in that. But being honest with other people and saying, hey, here's something I struggle with, gives them the opportunity to say, hey, I kind of struggle with that thing too, or I struggle with something else.
It's
and then
okay
all of
to
a
be
sudden,
honest.
Yes,
yeah.
It's okay to be not
vulnerable.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've said that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. And the more we can do that, then the more you stop seeing these posts on Facebook that are like, hey, check us out in our perfect family. Right. You start to see, oh, okay, so they're struggling with that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That happened to me this week. I got my feelings hurt over something, and I went to a friend, and I was like, "Was this really something I should have gotten my feelings hurt over, or is there another?" And she said, "No, well, I can see how that would, and you know, helping you work through that process.
Yeah.
But when you don't say it, it just rolls around in your head and gets bigger.
Right.
And so sometimes you need to say those things to get an accurate view of it. I keep going back to that, but that is so true for me. Mm-hmm. If I have a wonky view of God some days,
yes.
It's a wonky view of Carol.
Yeah.
And so I just keep going back to that. And I know we, you know, if you listen to this podcast, we're always encouraging you to spend time alone with God. But that's the cure right there.
And His love.
Yeah.
Focusing on His love for you. Because if you feel loved, you walk around differently.
True.
You don't
so true.
Have to compare yourself if you are loved.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was reading this book that said that we can never truly serve until we realize how loved we are, because service is an overflow of feeling that love. And I thought that was so good, because it is so true. So many of us serve for other reasons, because we're feeling something that's empty within us, not necessarily because it's an overflow of the love that God has for us. And so I think that's important to serve, to spend time with God, to make sure you have an accurate view of God.
And His love for you.
And His love for you. Limit your time on social media. Any other suggestions we got?
Compliment someone else.
Compliment someone else.
Encourage someone else. Focus on someone else. And know that you have the choice. You are not going to be bullied by your feelings. You can make the choice to take a different direction.
And to realize it even is a choice. Because that's the point I was at. You know, I didn't realize it was a choice. I just thought, hey, they take over and, you know, then I find myself on the crazy train again. And when I finally said, oh, I have a choice and I can choose to be miserable or I can choose to be happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can. It is my choice. And nobody gets up in the morning going, you know what? I think I'll be miserable today.
It's a good day to be miserable.
It's a good day to be miserable. It's cloudy, you know, it's raining, whatever. Nobody does that. And yet we really do. Like, to say it out loud, you'd be like, okay, you probably need some counseling, which I do. I need a lot.
Me too.
But we would never say that out loud, but our lives reflect that's what we are choosing. So just be mindful of what you're following. I think it's just been a great discussion. I feel very encouraged. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Too. I do. Yeah.
Were you going to add something?
I feel less encouraged, though.
No.
Less encouraged
than
me.
You all are more encouraged than me. I'm kidding.
You were going to go to the take every thought captive.
Yeah, I was just going to say, take every thought captive.
Yeah.
Because that's so important.
Mm-hmm. Make it obedient to Christ. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we love you so much, and we don't want you to live in less than land. We want you to live in God's good love for you and to be all that He's created you to be. And He has created you and has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that's what we want for you, the abundant life that He paid for us through Christ. And if you have questions or comments, you're always welcome to get in touch. You can email us at girltalk@thelightfm.org. Also, we'd like to invite you to like the public Facebook page. We heard from a lot of our girlfriends. They couldn't share the content from the private girlfriends page. So we made a public Girl Talk page. Make sure you're on both, because we share different content on both of those pages. So make sure you go like the Facebook page that is the public page, the Girl Talk podcast page. And we would love to see you there. We can start a discussion. We would love for you to get in and to support one another, because that's really what happens. We're building a community here. Want to say thank you to our friends at Fox Toyota of East Tennessee for sponsoring this episode of the Girl Talk podcast. And we'll see you next time we gather right here around these microphones. We love you. Hope you have a great day today.